All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just a couple of things off of the pregame. What's really amazing to me is how people aren't rejoicing in this. We have the biggest stock increase in what I'm hearing. Go ahead and side. You can just go side by side that one. Just so you, this could be the first slide anyway. Breaking Dow Jones from Leading Report. The Dow Jones just recorded its highest single day gain in history. Why is nobody rejoicing at this? I mean, I know that people on our side are, of course, because it's completely miraculous. But we were supposed to have Black Monday, Black Tuesday, and even Blacker Wednesday. And we have absolutely nothing but the stocks soaring through the roof. And again, we'll go over this, of course, line by line. But I just marvel at even people like you saw John Kennedy in the pregame. And you're like, don't you like John Kennedy? He's okay. Because here's the thing, John Kennedy, people like him, they always come out and they've got their sound bites and he's funny and the shampoo bottle for AOC, all that. What's he done? I mean, did he and like Ted Cruz and the rest of these that were very hesitant on these Trump tariffs, what even gives you the right to be hesitant?
Right.
I mean, again, they're like, well, because it's not the way that things have already been done. Or as one Democratic Party, well, many Democratic Party members have said, it's all chaotic and there's a lack of expertise. And all that, of course, is lying. But if the experts and non-chaotic, if expertise and non-chaotic is what you are doing, then why would you not choose a lack of expertise and chaotic? If quote-unquote expertise and a lack of chaos, or, you know, the standard order has brought us to where we are, $37 trillion in debt, then how do you even stand there as if you have any bona fides whatsoever? I mean, imagine it'd be like the captain of the Titanic sitting there and as his boat is going down and criticizing how it's being evacuated. I understand, well, you know, the proper way to evacuate this. You just destroyed the entire thing, and now somebody else is taking, and this is what's happening. You have all these people. Well, we prefer the normal order. The normal order of $37 trillion in debt and an evaporating dollar, a BRICS movement opposing the dollar, that's really what's unaffordable mortgages and everything else. This is what you choose? Is this? You choose this? This is non-chaos to you? This is the exemplar of expertise to you? John Kennedy, Ted Cruz, all the rest of the circumspect Republicans. I just don't understand why we have to do these tariffs. And, you know, they're penalizing other countries. But you have no problem with other countries tariffing the United States. Not one word. Not one word has ever been spoken by any of these. And you're like talking, Tom, these are people who support Donald Trump. Yeah, they support him. And I get it. And you should, listen, everybody's got the right to say what they want to say. But if you have no solid ground to stand on, where nothing that you have done under your tenure has ever led to decreasing this, or has any affect John Kennedy in the Senate for decades, Cruz in the Senate for decades, and nothing you've ever done has ever lowered this, then why are you even hesitant for someone to try something different? Well, that's not what we usually do. This is what we usually do. This is what we usually do. Then why would you not want to try something different unless you yourself are getting paid via this? And then you have all of these countries, got great, good flip back, guys. You have all of these countries now. They're running to Trump, and as they said, they're kissing his rear end. Many of them have come to him and said, zero for zero already. The only one that is actually fighting Trump is China. Give me China, Aaron.
China.
There it is. They're the only ones. They're the only ones that are even fighting Trump. Everybody else is rushing to America, booking freaking flights to America. Immediately to negotiate with Trump and come in. Now, because about 75 countries that came to Trump, he said, everybody who's willing to negotiate, we're putting a 90-day moratorium on these tariffs. Well, and Trump caved. You actually have Democrats coming out right now saying, Trump caved to China. China is the only one who's not getting the 90-day moratorium.
Right.
I mean, imagine being that stupid. You're like, Tom, you're all fired up. I know. Listen, I understand ignorance, but I do not understand stupidity. that you're going to go out and just make a blatantly obvious stupid comment, which is stupid means you know that it's wrong and you do it anyway. You know that it's wrong. Trump blinked using like mafia terms. Trump blinked. Trump caved. How did he cave to China when China's not part of the 90-day moratorium? I truly don't get it. I sit there and I go, how do you stand? How, you're a father. You're a husband. You're a member of a family of some sort. I mean, your parents are probably either have already disowned you or rolling around in their graves. And you're like, Adam Schiff, Trump blinked. How do you even say that? China's not even part of the moratorium. The only people who get the 90-day negotiating time are those who've already come out and said, well, you know what, we're going to do zero for zero. We want to negotiate. What do we need to do? And it, last thing. So, again, all the experts, you know, Aaron was saying it during the pregame, when you look at Pete Hegseth down in Panama. Now, we've now negotiated with Panama that it's now an America First Panama Canal. Will appreciate this as a member of the military. All of our ships, even though Will doesn't like to admit it, the Marine Corps is part of the Navy. But the Marine Corps is the only one that's passed their audits. No other branch of the military has. But anyway, so now the Marines and everybody else have first priority in the Panama Canal. Not China. Aaron, give it to me again.
China.
Not them.
Nope.
Not China. We now have first priority. You know what has to happen when you have a naval cruiser come to the Panama Canal? Everybody gets out of the way. This has all been done in 80 days. As a Democrat, how do you look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm proud to be a Democrat when Biden, because Bush did nothing either, of course. Your own party. Imagine that. Imagine being a part. Don't you just thank God every day? And I mean that. Not taking the Lord's name in vain. Thank God every day. You wake up, slide right to your knees and say, thank you, Lord. I'm not as stupid as a Democrat. Thank you, Lord. I just praise you, Lord. I'm not as stupid as a Democrat. Who, President Carter, I mean, you can just go down the litany. I mean, you can just go right down the list of all the litany of stupid things that have ever been done. They're all by Democrats, every last one of them, with a few notable exceptions, like Nixon getting off of the gold standard. That was really stupid. But anyway, you look at the Panama Canal. Panama Canal was sold to Panama for a dollar by Jimmy Carter. And then people are proud to be a Democrat and then sit back and say, there's nothing the Trump administration can do about it. Trump fixed it all in 80 days. All done. We need comprehensive border reform. This is a long-standing, I'll just break into Washington, D.C. speak. So you continue to get invited to the D.C. cocktails. It's been a long-standing problem at the border. It's going to take comprehensive border reform. Trump fixed it in 3 days. Border shut down, 95%. There, 95% of all illegal border entries have been stopped. So it was fixed in 3 days by the Trump administration. Absolutely fixed. All right, let me say hey to everybody in the chat. All right, right at the bottom, Tim LT Bird is on. Hands Like Donovan is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Robin Aroni is on. JD Wool is on. Producer Aaron is on. Mike Griffith is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Let me see here. C-Suff is on. Lady Vu is on. Praise Holler is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Sheila K is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Judy Anita is on. LA 106 Times is on. Steffa Toms is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Hassle Free TV is on. DC 941 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Todd Suff is on. DK Jackson is on. Granite 2468 is on. Run Pierre is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Let me see. Did I miss anybody? Snag Dog is on. Uncle Wally is on. Goosey 600 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Bee Haven is on. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Now, aren't you glad that tonight I didn't screw up the first part of the podcast? Absolutely. Adam bombed the first part of the podcast last night by forgetting the podcast. You know, if you're going to, I'm just give this as free advice for everybody out there. If you're going to actually conduct a podcast, you might want to bring the podcast with you. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I did. Pulled up here, jumped out of my car, coming. I went, I have nothing. I brought nothing. Yeah, there's things that I have to bring here. Go, Aaron.
You know what was funny, too, is I'm sitting here and I see you. Normally you come in, you're all, hey, guys, how's it going? And you like open the door and you like,
stunned look on my face.
Peeked in and you're like, I forgot the podcast. The entire podcast. I was like, oh no.
Forgot the entire. Aaron kept saying, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. He kept, what about this option? I don't know. I was like stunned. I'd been like tased. He kept asking me questions. I don't know. I don't know what to do. So anyway, glad that's not the case tonight. Great that everybody's on. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to this now. Now, we already put the first one back up, Will, just so we can launch this thing again. Leading report tweet, breaking the Dow Jones. Throw that back up. There we go. So I just want to start it back up with this. Dow Jones just recorded its highest single day gain in history. Up almost 3,000 points in a day. Where's the rejoicing? Well, yeah, I can't rejoice because it's not politically expedient to do so, is what the Democrats are saying right now. All right, let's go to the other thing. Just a bunch of random Trump stuff just to start off, So now, people may not know who Chris Krebs is. You need to know who Chris Krebs is, former head of CISA, which is the Cyber Infrastructure Security Administration, something along those lines. Can't remember what CISA stands for. But basically what they're in charge of is making sure, along with other things, that our elections are secure and that the cyber infrastructure of the United States is not infiltrated by foreign entities, right? So that's what they're in charge of. Now, what really is CISA? What it is a cardboard cutout for the CIA to infiltrate systems that they are not lawfully allowed to infiltrate. That's what CISA is. And Chris Krebs is nothing more than a Democratic Party operative. These are the people. This is why it's so important, like what Laura Loomer did, meeting with the president the other day and pointing out the people that are still in the administration, like the admiral that just got fired, I can't think of the others, but other people, I can't think of the names of the others. All of the Chris Krebses of the world, doesn't matter. Party doesn't matter. Party matters to you and I when we're sitting in our hometowns, sitting here in Northport, Florida. Party matters. In D.C., it doesn't matter. They're Republicans or Democrats. They're really all the same with a few notable exceptions because all of that is a traveling roadshow fraud. So that we believe there are people in D.C. because they have an R in front of their name battling for us. That is not the way that it is. And Chris Krebs is one of these types. You'd be thinking, well, maybe, I don't know what he is. He may have an R in front of his name, may have a D. Why in the world was he still in place? And you can go with the CIA director, whether it's Haspel or her substitute or anybody else. Why were these people, why was Mark Milley ever allowed to be the joint? Because Trump didn't know any better. And Trump has that mentality. I don't know where it comes from. As much as I love him, greatest president in history. And I mean that, greatest president in history. He has a mentality of, once people get to know me, they're going to like me. See, for me, I'm exactly the opposite way. I'm like, you know what? When people get to know me, I'm assuming they're not going to like me. That's really how you have to think in life, and really, because you're not going to change. So you might as well get the people around you that are going to support you. Not yes men. Like Aaron's no yes man. If I'm doing something stupid, Aaron's going to call me out on it. But I'm just saying that you got people that are purposely sabotaging you need to go. Not the truth type. You end up in like sort of a Bannon Trump relationship, which is kind of even though Trump's a few years older than Bannon by I think 6-7 years. We kind of got a big brother, little brother sort of relationship, but they trust each other and they always go to, but they can't necessarily work together. Okay, that's fine. My wife and I are kind of like that. We're great. We're best friends. We like to hang out together. We like to do things together, but we don't work well together. We play well together. We talk and everything else. We suck the oxygen out of the room, but we do not work. My wife can work for me or I can work for my wife, but that's it. So Trump and Bannon are kind of the same way, but they're maintaining the relationship. Bannon would never sabotage Trump. All the R's that are around him, even still, there's not very many. Now, as the first administration, he was surrounded. I mean, think about being surrounded by Alexander Vindman. He's there the entire time for 4 years sabotaging him. You had the military not removing soldiers as told to remove. They were told to extract soldiers out of Syria, just didn't do it. Just ignored them. And they did it all through hidden back channels. That all has to go. And Chris Krebs is one of these people. You know, we're there. We're going to put on a great election for you, Mr. President. No, actually, you're just a little liar, a little CIA cutout, a little fraudulent Democratic Party stenographer. Just say the things the Democratic Party tells you to do. So Donald Trump responded to Chris Krebs. You might remember when I showed you the pictures who he is. But here's what Trump did with Chris Krebs today. Johnny MAGA video. Whoa, Trump just revoked his security clearance. Play for me.
Christopher Krebs, the former head of CISA. Yeah. This is a man who weaponized his position against free speech in the election context, in the context of COVID-19. Presidential memorandum to the one you just signed. It is assurances he might have, and further instructs your Department of Justice, other aspects of your government, to investigate some of the malign acts that he participated in while he was still head of CISA.
This is another one. I don't know that I met him. I'm sure I met him, but I didn't know him. And he came out right after the election, which was a rigged election, badly rigged election. We did phenomenally in that election. Look what happened to our country because of it. Open borders, millions of people coming into our country. Russia and Ukraine, that would have never happened. October 7th would have never happened. Afghanistan, the way that they withdrew with 13 dead, but so many killed, actually. I mean, so many killed outside of the 13 soldiers. Hundreds of people killed. And maybe, I don't know, never mentioned, but I mentioned it, 42 or 43 people so badly injured, the legs, the arms blown off, the face, and this is all because of a incompetent group of people that preceded us, and that would have never happened. And this guy Krebs was saying, oh, the election was great, it was great. Well, it's been proven that it was not only not great, when you look at all these lawyers and law firms that are signing, giving us hundreds of millions of dollars. It was proven by so many different ways in so many different forms, from the legislatures not approving to the that worked at, from all of the different scamming operations. It was a very corrupt election. They used COVID to cheat. And we're going to find out about this guy, too, because this guy's a wise guy. He said, we've been proved this is the most secure election in the history of our country. Now, this was a disaster. And frankly, we should go to paper ballots, same-day voting, voter ID, and one other thing, a vote. You should get a little certificate that says you're a citizen of our country. You get a citizen piece of paper that says you're a citizen before you can vote. But you want voter ID and you want paper ballots. And you really want same-day voting. If you don't have same-day voting, they decide to change the air condition. Oh, we're fixing the air condition. Let's move all these boxes. We'll bring them back in a few days. And then they don't bring back those boxes. We got to have safe elections. We have to have borders. Ideally, we have to have a free press, which we don't have. We don't have a free press. We have a very dishonest press. This will be, it's an honor. We're going to find out whether or not he was right. This was a disgraceful election. And this guy sat back saying, well, I'm a member, or like he's a Republican or something. And right, almost right from the beginning. And he's tried to make the case that this election was a safe election. I think he said, this is the safest election we've ever had. And yet, every day you read in the papers about more and more fraud that's discovered. He's the fraud. He's a disgrace. So we'll find out whether or not it was a safe election. And if it wasn't, he's got a big price to pay. And he's a bad guy. Here's another one. I have no idea who he is. Krebs. No idea who he is. I'm sure he was in the room at some point, just like you're all in the room. But I have no idea who he was. So thank you very much. Those last two are very important, I think, for the country.
Now you can go right to the next one for me, Will. So then that next one is Ian Yeager tweet, just so you can see who this person is. Because you probably saw him on 60 Minutes. That's Chris Krebs, who Aaron just sent. He is registered as a lifelong Republican. Chris Krebs, former director of cybersecurity infrastructure security. See it again. They're so redundant in their stupid names. The Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency of CISA. Quote, unquote, a lifelong Republican. All right, bring it back to the tweet. So you go, just now, former head of CISA, Chris Krebs, security clearance has just been revoked. President Trump has also directed the Department of Justice to launch an investigation into his role in the 2020 election. So let's go to the next one. Here's a George video. Here's Krebs on 60 Minutes. Play for me.
It's completely and utterly surreal. None of these lies have been substantiated to any extent. Every single one of them has been debunked.
Chris Krebs was director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, charged with protecting the 2020 election. He called it the most secure election in American history, and days later was fired by President Trump.
How secure was the 2020 election?
Let me put it this way. It was the most litigated. It was the most scrutinized. It was the most audited. This election was put through the ringer from so many different directions.
There's no evidence that any machine that I'm aware of has been manipulated by a foreign power. Period.
Communist money from China and Cuba used to influence the election.
Look, I think these, we can go on and on with all the farcical claims that alleging interference in the 2020 election, but the proof is in the ballots. The recounts are consistent with the initial count, and to me, that's further evidence, that's confirmation that the systems used in the 2020 election performed as expected, and the American people should have 100% confidence in their vote.
I'm going to launch with Aaron's point that he just said. Did Krebs or anybody else say that there was no evidence of Russian collusion in 2016? No, all of them dutifully come out. I mean, I'm talking about every senator that you and I voted for that are Republican have all come out. We all know that Russia interfered in the 2016 elections. Can I just tell you for the record, they didn't. They didn't. Everybody feels like it's like saying we can open up safely. Okay, what I'm talking about COVID. We can all open up safely. The moment that you say that, what you're saying is there's actually a threat that you need to open up safely against. There is no threat. There's no reason to do anything safely in reference to COVID. It's the same thing with 2016. What did Russia do? They spent a total of $200,000, split evenly in half, pro-Trump ads, pro-Hillary ads. That's it. That's interfering in the election. But every Republican and Democrat to this day dutifully comes up to every podium and says, we know the Russians interfered in the 2016 election, and what are we going to do to stop it? Just like the dutiful, bent-over, masked Republicans, just like Krebs in the video right there, all come up. You know, I believe that we can, you know, they all were like, we need to open, but we need to open safely. Okay, the moment that you did, the moment that you acquiesced, you just licensed them to continue on with their totalitarianism because you're saying there's an actual threat. It's a fake problem, just like Russian interference was in 2016. It's a fake problem with their totalitarian solutions. And the moment that you acknowledge the reality of a fake problem, like, you know, we all need to be decreasing our carbon footprint. Okay, you're acknowledging a fake problem and you're opening the door to their totalitarian solutions to the problems that it created out of thin air. So I would love to know where Krebs was in that election. You know, was 2016 the safest, most secure? What were your reactions to the alleged election being interfered with by Russia? So let's go over his other claims. He says that everything that he heard were these farcical claims, and that there was no evidence that there was any machine that was interfered with. How would he know that when there's no investigation?
Right.
I mean, you're like, do we really have to litigate the 2020 election? Well, considering the only reason why Trump won in 2024, because it was because it was too big to rig. Okay, Trump won the states where a voter ID is required and lost every state where there wasn't one required. And he won every state and all. Listen, Trump won Oregon. He won Washington. I guarantee you he won those states, and he probably wins California. I'm not saying this to be hyperbolic. I think he probably lost Connecticut and Massachusetts. I mean, he wins most of these states if there's not mass voter fraud going on. So he said, but anyway, Krebs says there's no evidence of anything. How would he know if there's evidence or not evidence when there was no investigation? He certainly didn't conduct an investigation. You know what Chris Krebs did? Nothing. You remember there was suppressed huge. Dana Nassel and Gretchen Whitlis, who was in the Oval Office today. Trump's way too nice to that witch. I'll tell you what a little demoness she is. But anyway, there was mass evidence of voter fraud. Huge evidence. It got passed back and forth between Dana Nassel and the FBI, the Attorney General for Michigan and the FBI, passed back and forth and ended up doing nothing over it. And there's mass evidence of election fraud going to Bill Barr, and Bill Barr told them to shut down the investigations. Imagine this. Bill Barr has it brought to his desk. There's mass evidence of voter fraud. Shuts down the investigation and then says his investigation concluded that there was no evidence of voter fraud to the level that would overturn the election. So you shut down the investigation and you claim that there's an investigation. That's Billy Barr. That's Billy. And that's Chrissy too. Put that side by side so we can keep Chrissy's face right where it needs to be. This lifelong Republican who's also a member of the Aspen Institute. Okay, that's like saying that you're a lifelong member of the ADF and belonging to the Nazi Party also. Which pretty much is pretty close, by the way. So, I mean, that's how it is. Like, Tom, that's a really anti-Jewish thing to say. No, I'm not. It's not a matter of being anti. The Anti-Defamation League is used to suppress speech of conservatives.
Yeah.
Everything. If you say anything against George Soros, it's anti-Semitic. Did I say anything about his religion? Not one thing, even though he's a Nazi collaborator. Does that make me anti-Semitic? Does him being anti-Semitic and me saying that he's anti-Semitic make me anti-Semitic? No, it's just all I care about is actual truth. That's all that I really care about. But anyway, so Krebs is part of the Aspen Institute. Aaron, can you guess who it is that votes, who actually pays for the Aspen Institute?
Us?
Yeah, you and I. Oh. You and I pay for the Aspen Institute, okay? Through it via NGOs. It's great. Another think tank, like a National Endowment for Democracy.
Ooh.
That's fully staffed by Democrats. Aspen Institute, fully staffed by Democrats who make nonpartisan decisions, though.
Of course.
Just like all the judiciary. We just trust the judges. Yeah, they give hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions, and actually are running multi-million dollar NGOs as a side job. But when a Republican stands before those judges, they'll suddenly become impartial. And you just have to trust it, or you're an insurrectionist. The Aspen Institute is funded by NGOs, and that's who Chrissy works for. Chris Krebs is part of the Aspen Institute, the same group of operatives that ran war games on how to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story. So the Aspen Institute is obviously unbiased. The Aspen Institute was working in collaboration with, I can't remember what the other major outlet or outlets were, to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop stories right out of Stanford also. I can't remember whether Aspen Institute's part of that or not. So you and I, via NGO funding, fund this nonpartisan think tank. They don't just sit around and think. What they do is take all of that money. Now, all of them are getting paid multi-million dollar salaries that you and I pay for in our country, $37 trillion in debt. For them, we're paying for Democratic Party operatives to operate, including Chrissy Krebs, who, like Bill Barr, is a lifelong Republican. Just like Lindsey Graham is a lifelong Republican. Just like Mitt Romney. See, we don't have any Republicans that are pretending to be Democrats, but most of the Republican Party are Democrats pretending to be Republicans. Like Chrissy. Like little Chrissy Krebs. And look how sure he was. You know, there's these farcical claims. No evidence ever came up. This was the most litigated. Was this the most accused, asked by the 60 Minutes guy? I think it was Anderson Cooper. Was this the most secure election in history? It was the most litigated. Did he answer the question? Did he answer that? Was it the most secure in history? Absolutely knows it wasn't. I mean, Georgia alone, when you're dealing with Raffensperger, Perkins Coie, and Mark Elias alone in and of itself. I mean, in Georgia, 63,000 of their ballots were determined to be illegal. Trump lost by 11,000. You're like, Tom, get over it. We won. Okay, who's the senators? Who's the senators out of Georgia? I mean, it's John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. It's over? No, I mean, they were also won this fraudulent system set up by Mark Elias and Brad Raffensperger, where they made it impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election when you're going to have a mass mail-in election for the first time in history. So he says most litigated. How was it the most litigated when every case was dismissed for lack of standing? And I've gone over this before. Trump lost. He lost every single time he brought it to court. Incorrect. 22 out of 30 times it actually made it to court, he won.
Yep.
Every other case was dismissed. 22 out of 30 is pretty good batting average. He won, definitively won in those cases. That's the actual truth. All the rest of them, including by the SCOTUS. And we're wonder why now. You ever wonder why it is? That the SCOTUS, 21 freaking states come and file a lawsuit for the review of this election in 2020, and it gets dismissed by the Supreme Court for lack of standing. I wonder why it is. Now we know, because John Roberts is best friends with Norm Eisen, who's running all the law for the Democratic Party over the last, let's just say, all the way since 2017. Because John Roberts meets with Norm Eisen, lives with him for a week in his mansion in Czechoslovakia, 120-room mansion. No, I don't know. Want to know what's going on in those rooms. All right, where the heck am I? All right, let's go to, what was that one? Chris Krebs, Aspen Institute. Just go to the next one for me. We'll all figure it out. Go, there we are. All right, Emma Robinson, there you go. Thank you. Krebs threw a 2020 election party. Aaron, were you invited?
No.
No, they invited me either.
No.
I don't think. Guess who was invited, however, though? According to reporter Steve Nelson, a document reviewed, the Post indicates it was attended by two staffers of Dominion Voting Systems. Oh, the ones you said where there's no evidence of machine voting fraud? But they were all at the celebratory party afterwards. Oh, there's nothing to see there. I thought you were part of CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA. Yeah. But yet you have, again, it's just like Democrats and Republicans investing in stocks that they are the accountability for. They're investing in stocks where they are the governance of those stocks. It's the same thing here. So you are over making sure that Dominion is safe and secure for our election, but yet you party with them? I mean, that again, that'd be like cops partying with potential criminals. Is that what you do? No, you shouldn't be buying stocks when you are the person who's in charge of governing those stocks. Same thing here, obviously. All right, let's go to the next one. I've lost where I'm at. So,
Colin Rugg.
Oh, we're off of this. Hold on. All right, good. We're off. So there you go with Chris Krebs. I lost my way because I got it all written on one page. So anyway, that's off of that. Chris Krebs, his security clearance revoked, and now he's under DOJ investigation. Need to find out what he did and didn't do, and how we swore to it. He's got congressional testimony. Did he tell the truth? Did he perjure himself? And 2020 has to be litigated. Last point. 2020 has to be litigated. They're going to do it again. All right, so let's look at this Colin Rugg video. Here's Senator Adam Schiff, who's part of the shadow government, says he will be investigating. Get this now. This is just beautiful. And he's all crying. He's like, Donald, why is Donald Trump so fixated on me? I don't know. Maybe because you say things like this. Senator Adam Schiff says he will be investigating to see if there was any insider trading with the Trump announcement of pausing tariffs. So what he's saying is this, is that what he's accusing the Trump administration of is that Trump knew that he was going to pause these tariffs and that people inside of his administration made money off of this pause. So they all bought on the low when Trump said there's going to be tariffs, people inside the Trump administration, Elon Musk, he really rides the stock market. Elon Musk is the stock market. Yeah. He's worth $400 billion. Elon Musk's not riding the stock market on penny stocks. So he tanked the stock. This is what Adam Schiff's saying. He purposely tanked the stock market so that people will buy in his administration will be able to buy on the low, and then said we're going to renegotiate. So everybody made a lot of money. So that's what Adam Schiff is saying, and he's going to conduct an investigation. Play for me.
How concerned are you with this market fluctuation, and are you concerned that there could be members of the White House that are benefiting from it?
Absolutely. I'm writing to the White House to demand who knew in advance that the president was going to once again flip-flop on tariffs, and are people cashing in? There is just all too much opportunity for people in the White House and the administration to be insider trading, and you can't put it past them for a minute. So we're going to try to find out.
There's a good chance they'll just ignore you, though, right? Should there be some other independent investigation into this?
Well, I think Congress should do an investigation into this, but we're going to demand answers from the administration. I think you're right. They're likely to stonewall, particularly if they've been engaged in corrupt insider trading. But they won't be able to hide it for good. I mean, we know who's in the administration. We can look at eventually what people are buying and selling. This will come out. but an administration that has their own meme coins and is already engaged in self-interested dealing with Ilana's dogeing agencies that are doing oversight of his own businesses. In that kind of corrupt climate, you have to assume the worst, and we're going to try to find out.
And Aaron, back me up. So Elon, you got Elon who creates SpaceX,
yep,
creates PayPal, creates Tesla. What else? There's other things they pop in your mind. Just shout them out and even shout them out over me. That's fine. Worth $400 billion, created PayPal, all those different things. So, but Elon is going to ride the stock market. Obviously, he owns Twitter X, which has turned into a boondoggle of success.
Neuralink.
I knew there's a, I mean, these are huge.
XAI.
These are huge companies. We're talking about, I mean, the man is worth on the upper end, $400 million, on the lower end, $300 billion. And he's going to ride, he needs Trump to give him a stock market break. I mean, just think how asinine Adam Schiff is being with this thing. But don't worry. As Aaron said, he's writing the White House a strongly worded letter that they're going to just completely, you know, they ought to do it. Like, Trump should do a ceremony when that letter arrives at the White House. They should do some sort of ceremony that publicly mocks Adam Schiff. That's what he needs. And it obviously bothers him. So again, this is really interesting. So suddenly, let's just say that's what Trump was doing, manipulating stock. Trump, who's worth $12 billion, needs to win big on the stock market. He's worth $12 billion, folks. Remember, every billion's 1,000 millions. I mean, think about Elon Musk, $400 billion. Each one of those 400 billions, each one of them is worth 1,000 millions. And you're going to worry about the ups and downs of the stock market? No, that's for people like me. I have a lot of money that's invested like in like 401k sort of stuff in the stock market. My finance guy runs it all for me, but I'm just saying, just from my retirement from the sheriff's office. But I'm just, that's for me. That's not somebody who's $400 billion. I mean, that's not what it's for. But Adam Schiff is really concerned about it suddenly. I mean, he's really concerned about people allegedly manipulating stock and again, insider trading. He's really worried about people who control a specific segment or people that govern a specific area of the economy investing in that economy. Because again, that would be corruption, or i.e. insider trading. If you are in charge of governing, let's say, the oil and gas industry, you're in charge of that. But you're in charge of governing it. So you are in charge of legislating it. You're in charge of putting laws over it. You're in charge of constraining it, whatever it may be. You can cause, via your governance, you can cause ups and downs in that market, in the oil and gas market. Should you be investing in it since you control the ups and downs of the market? Absolutely not. So that's what he's accusing the Trump administration of doing. Now, let's go back to Adam Schiff now. Did that bother him ever in 2024, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Not once. It doesn't bother Adam Schiff at all. Look, put this chart up for me, Will. So this is, just start and blow it up as big as you can for me here. If you just give me half of it, you give me the top half, that's perfectly fine. Now suddenly, alleged insider trading bothers Adam Schiff. Now, this is for the last year. This is from December of 2023 to just now, basically December of 2024. This never bothered Adam Schiff. And look at all the Republicans in there. Look at all the number one. I mean, this is their stock gains by percent.
Dude.
and wait till you see the video after this, because Warren Buffett, I don't remember what he makes. Makes like single digits. 8-9% is what the greatest Warren Buffett is considered. I don't know if it's true or not, but he's considered by mainstream sources to be the greatest stock trader in history.
Yeah.
That's what he's considered to be. Everybody looks to whatever Warren Buffett's doing. Is it really 9:47? Yeah. So anyway. So they always look to Warren Buffett. What's Warren Buffett doing? Because that's what I ought to do. Warren Buffett can't even make the top 60 on this list.
No.
He can't even make it because he's like single digits. He's like 8, 10, 12%. And he's crossing slightly in his double digits. Maybe. I don't even know if that's true. We'll find the next video will tell us. But look at this. This didn't bother Adam Schiff at all. It didn't bother Adam Schiff at all that Nancy Pelosi made 71% on her stocks. She increased her stock value 71%. She made a 71% profit. Susan Collins, you wonder why she votes Democrat? Because as a Republican, she makes 77% on her stocks. See, I'm equal opportunity offender. I'll go both parties. I don't care. The biggest one of all is Dave Rouser. Somehow makes 150% on his stocks. Who does that? The most amazing year is when you get 8%.
Yeah.
If you got 8% year, it's the most amazing year. But all of these people who are in charge of the markets that they invest in, is that fair to you and I? If the politicians who are in charge of the markets that they're investing in, so they cause the ups and downs in the markets, so they know they're about to cause a down, so they sell. Or they're about to cause an up, all right, so they buy. You and I don't have any of that information. That's why Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I can't say anything against her, because if I do, the ADF's going to call, makes 142% increase in a year. In a year. So she had $100,000 that turned into $250,000 in 1 year. Ron Wyden, he looks like a podunk farmer from the 1940s. Incorrect. He makes 123%. And none of this bothered Adam Shifty Shift at all until somehow he can falsely accuse the Trump administration of doing it. But for year after year after year after decade after decade after decade, never bothered him at all. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Johnny Midnight Video. How can this be legal? Play it for me.
Look at how many members of Congress outperformed him, and not by 5%, not by 6 or 7 or 10, by 40, 50, 60, 70, up to 149% annual returns. Warren Buffett has been doing this for 60 years. He's never had 149% year. He's never had 105%. He's never. And meanwhile, we have half a dozen members of Congress buying stocks on their cell phones sporadically, outperforming the best year in the history of the best investor who's ever lived. It's like, you know, we don't need Murder, She Wrote to crack this thing open. Clearly, they are cheap.
So, I mean, these experts now, none of these people could ever run a taco stand. There's where Warren Buffett lives. Let's see. I was wrong. What's that say, Aaron? 20% or what is that? Can you see where I read that?
It looks like 23.
Yeah, like 23%. So he makes, on average, somewhere between, it looks like 23 and 27%. So we'll just say he makes 25%. As the greatest stock trader ever. He can't match Debbie Wasserman Schultz, though. Who's probably the dumbest human being I've ever heard speak.
Correct.
I mean, literally. I mean, an absolute asinine moron. But she, however, and Nancy Pelosi does three times as well as Warren Buffett every year. Maybe even more than that. Five times better. I mean, four times better. I mean, you saw at the top was 147%. Warren Buffett does 23%, and you do 147% on the stock market? That doesn't bother Adam Schiff at all. But when Donald Trump says he's going to increase tariffs and the people decide to comply and not increase their tariffs against them because they're already existing tariffs, then, and causing the market to fluctuate, then Adam Schiff is bothered by it. Not when you have individuals who are in charge, who are governing a specific segment of the economy, investing in it. That doesn't bother him at all, and making astronomical returns. All right, let's change subjects. Go to the next one here. Brandon Video. Here's Sonny Hostin. Oh. This is our opposition section of the show. Got a couple of them here. Just two opposition videos. These are the people who are our opposition. These are the people who are our accountability. I mean, not our accountability. These are our competition. So here's Sonny Hostin. She says here in the video, many blacks, but I want you to know, they kind of missed the clip a little bit. What she's talking about, when she launches, she's talking about black Americans. Many blacks and women won't be able to vote if ID is required. Can you imagine making a racist statement like that? Play it for me.
People don't have cars, don't have driver's licenses. So it's sort of a vestige of, I think, post-slavery laws where black people had to prove their right to vote. And oftentimes they couldn't vote because they couldn't pass some crazy test or they didn't have the appropriate ID. It also affects women that are married. Maybe one your passport reflects something that's different on your birth certificate or on your driver's license. So really the bottom line is voter suppression. And I agree with him 100%. It's a brilliant notion that less voter ID laws allows more people to vote. And most democracies do it that way. We're the only ones that really don't do it that way.
Right.
So again, who's worse, dumb or dumber? Because you have the dumb, and then you have the people that follow the dumb. Which one is dumber, the original or the people following the original? Which one is worse? I don't know. Because if you're a Democrat and you're actually listening to Sunny Hostin as if she is a purveyor of wisdom, she just said that black people can't vote because they don't have cars. No black people I know, they all have cars.
Yeah.
I mean, here she is. I'm assuming that she is at least partially African-American. Her husband's under investigation right now, felony investigation. Shocking. But anyway, so I'm assuming that she herself is African-American. And she's saying of her own race that they don't have cars. And I love the video. I actually should have tried to find it where they did the street interviews when they all actually went to Harlem and asked every single person they ran into, do you have an ID on you? And every single black person had an ID. You know why? Because, see, we on the right we are the ones who are the exact opposite with the antithesis of racism. We look at a black individual and go, same as me. They obviously have an ID. I just assume they have an ID. I don't assume a black person doesn't have an ID, doesn't have a car, and doesn't have a computer. I mean, that wasn't Sunny Hostin. That was from another interview from a white guy on a college campus. Well, black people a lot of times don't have computers. What? Who does? I mean, again, first of all, who doesn't have access to a smart device anyway, which is basically a computer? Everybody has one.
Yeah.
I don't see one person ever. If you look at all the fights that happen at all the airports, everybody's smartphones are flying everywhere. Everybody's got one.
True.
So, I mean, everybody's got a device, and you can do anything you want. You can do any sort of commerce on this device. I can't. Aaron can. And Aaron could teach me to do it.
True. Yeah.
So you can. You can easily do it. So everybody can do whatever they want. You can register to vote on it. You can get your driver's license on it. You can do whatever you got to do on it. But allegedly, according to Sunny Hostin, black people are incapable of getting an ID. So what they always say with this is that, and she, and think about, again, what a racist. What a person who is black, they must hate their own race. She must hate her own race, saying black people can't get an ID. So they always say, well, they're more likely to not be able to get an ID because of some sort of criminal entanglement, because they are always going, they conflate IDs with driver's licenses.
Right.
Two different things. You can use your ID, you can use your license as an ID. But every single state in the union is required to issue, upon request, an ID card.
Yeah.
Everybody. She's always like, well, because, imagine, this is how racist Sunny Hostin is. Black people are far more likely to have lost their licenses, so then they can't vote. Even if it's not felonious losing of license, like license suspended, whatever it may be. Because when your license is suspended, your physical license is actually taken from you. So you can't, you know, so people can't use it to fraudulently drive. But anyway, so she alleges that because of criminal offenses that black people are more likely to not have a driver's license on their person. They don't need one. All you need is your state ID. You know what you need to get your state ID? Nothing. You just need to have your birth certificate, some sort of a proof that you are who you are. And you go in and get your state ID, which, by the way, is very usually very easy. Why? Because you usually already have a driver's license on the record. And they issue an ID card. Aaron, go.
I was just going to say, well, but doesn't that go against them saying that blacks and whites commit the same amount of crime, though? Because wouldn't whites have the same issue?
Well, I don't know if they claim that or not. But the thing is, because that's, you know, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what the black community claims as far as crime, right? We know that 13% of the population commits 57% of all violent felonies. That we do know. But anyway, so she's claiming that people can't vote because they don't have a driver's license. You don't need a driver's license to vote. You need an ID card to vote.
Right.
It's very easy to get an ID card. You can even get it as a felon, but you won't be allowed to vote, depending on the laws of your state. But anyway, so it's just bold-faced racist lies. So again, the ones who call us racist are the racists, because I certainly don't think a black person can't have an ID.
Right.
Assume that a black person doesn't have an ID or doesn't have a car. I assume they all do. So it shows you the where the racism actually lives. It doesn't live with us. It lives with the Democratic Party. All right, go on to the next one. Ian, it's still in opposition. Last one for opposition section of the show. So here's Donnie Bacon. Donnie Bacon, who goes on mainstream only. He doesn't go on Fox. I know Fox is not solid, but they're less, obviously less mainstream than MSNBC and NBC and all CBS and ABC and the rest of them. So Donnie Bacon here, apropos named Bacon, and he just looks like your typical RNC cuckboy. You know, he's not a legitimate, never stood for anything in his whole life. He just goes with the flow. He tests the temperature of the room, and whatever he thinks will benefit him, that's the opinion that he will assume. That's it. He's like, okay, okay. He has no morals, no principles. I guarantee you, he's scared to death of his wife. He never properly parented his kids because he's scared to death of them, because he's always afraid of the ramifications of actually doing what is right. People like Donnie B. So he went on mainstream media and was like, he was from the Senate. He wanted to, or is he from the Congress? I think he says Congress, but
Representative.
Yeah, he says rep, but I thought he was from the Senate because I thought he was orchestrating a Senate bill. Aaron, just confirm that for me, would you?
Rep.
But he is Congress. So anyway, so he's trying, but he was actually on the show talking about orchestrating this through the Senate because he thinks he could get the initial votes in the Senate and then try to pass it through the Congress, which will never happen. Right. And then they never will have a veto-proof majority in the Senate anyway, because he was trying to pass an anti-tariff bill against Donald Trump. So of course, that's going to fail. And especially, so I wonder where he stands on that today, now that we had the biggest stock increase in history. Where are the retractions? Where are all the retractions from all the leftist pundits and talking heads? Where are all the retractions? You were completely and totally wrong. You know, if I was any of these people that were saying this Black Monday stock market's going to crash, whoever they may be, whether stock experts, congressmen or women, media pundits, all of them. If you were like definitive, it's just like I definitively said that Gavin Newsom is going to be the one who runs against Donald Trump in the last election. And when it turned out not to be true, I came out and said I was wrong.
Yeah.
So you definitively make that stand, then you have to come out and say you're wrong. Not a mess. Where's Donnie B today? He was orchestrating anti-tariff bill because of the stock market, quote unquote, collapse. Well, it didn't, Donnie. It didn't collapse. Where are you at today? Where haven't you found one of these and got in front of it and said, you know, I was wrong? Well, it just shows you that they're all fake, because now look what he's doing, because this is from today, from Ian Yeager. Just in, Republican Rep Don Bacon votes with all the Democrats. See? It's like our own Senate Majority Leader, John Thune. He votes 48% of the time. John Cornyn, who's now being primaried by Ken Paxton in Texas, votes 49% of the time with Democrats. That's who these people are. Again, these are all, look at the little worms that they are. John Thune, he looks like a little spineless worm. So is John Cornyn. They all are. Look at Mittens Romney. All they do in a room is go, what stance do I have to take to make me more popular? That's, you know how that works, for because narrows the way. If you find it, that sends you straight to hell. Most people never choose Christianity because it narrows the way. If you find it, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. May there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Matthew 7, 13 through 15. What? If you're one of those people, it's just like, you know what? I'm going to do whatever is personally beneficial for me instead of what is right. You end up like Donnie Bacon, just like this guy, who votes with the Democrats against legislation to limit the authority of activist district judges. He wants district judges. He's one of those guys that whenever Christopher Wray, I believe I have him on video doing it, whenever Christopher Wray testifies, first of all, Mr. Wray, because he's just been attacked by Republicans, I want to tell you that I respect the integrity of the FBI. Oh, really? The FBI that just perjures itself solely and completely, only investigates and prosecutes people in your own party? He's saying that because he is not part of our party. He's not a conservative. What makes him a conservative when you have no conservative values? How are you conservative when you're putting together an anti-tariff bill against the standing conservative president? When you are voting with Democrats to not limit the power of activist judges? Activist judges are the antithesis of conservatism. When you have nothing, it's like all the Christians. There's Christians that think that situational lying makes you more Christ-like. Well, you know, I lied in the moment, you know, because I really didn't want to hurt the feelings of somebody else. Okay, you know what? You're going to die and go straight to hell. Revelation 21:8. All liars. Doesn't matter why you lie. You're a freaking liar. How do you have anything? How are you a Christian when you have nothing in common with Jesus? Well, I'm nice. Jesus wasn't particularly nice. You ever read the Bible? Most Christians haven't. All right, let's go to the next one. I'm jumping all over the place right now. Here we are. I just wanted to show you this, going to the border for just a moment. I'm glad I did this because trying to get to my different, see, each one of these clips are the different subjects. Yeah, not looking good at 10:03. I'm going to do as much as I can, though. All right, so here we are. So this is all the latest news, though. You want the latest news, it's the place to find it. Now I'm going to yell at you and scream at you while I give it to you, but this is the latest news. Everything. So here, this just came out today. Here's the new non-citizen Social Security numbers that have been issued. What do you mean? Social Security issue numbers that enable you to get a driver's license, enable you to get an ID card? Mm. And if you get an ID card, you can do what? Remember, that's Sonny Hostin said. Remember, black people can't vote because they don't have IDs, but the illegals do. Mm. But the great replacement theory is racist. Well, the people who are being replaced by Hispanics are, namely, the black community. And here's their number of IDs that were issued to them by the Biden administration. Let's just see if we can actually spot a pattern. So when Biden first took office, he issued 270,000 Social Security numbers to illegal border invaders. Remember, he also let in 500,000 convicted criminals, 30,000 rapists and murderers. They all got Social Security numbers also. So in the next year, 2022, he doubled it to 600,000. And then the next year, he added another third at 964,000. And then the next year, doubled it all times a bunch more to 2,100,000 illegals got Social Security numbers. But they were never, it was never, Aaron told it out for me, for just under 4 million people got Social Security numbers that we know of.
Yeah.
That we know of. That's what's that. And if you're a Democrat, because who was it that found this out? Anybody know? It's a person. And his initials are EM. Mm-hmm. That is who brought this to light. That's who exposed this. Was Elon Musk through Doge. And you're going to stand at a podium. We're fighting Elon Musk. That's what you're fighting against. Elon Musk exposing that the Biden administration illegally and treasonously handed Social Security numbers to illegals? That's what you're fighting against? Hit it.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We'll fight against George. We'll fight Elon Musk. No Elon's can.
Again, the only vulnerability I have is when I'm laughing right now. It makes me cough. So there you go. That's what you're fighting against, exposing that Joe Biden handed out 4 million Social Security numbers, enabling them to register to vote, enabling them to get a driver's license. And by the way, they have no idea whether they've ever driven a vehicle ever in the history of their lives.
Yeah.
And yet, you know what? Here you go. Here's a driver's license for you. I can't remember the name of the town now. The town that was basically being destroyed by illegal drivers because all you had to do was present to their DHSMV that you were 16 or above based on the ID that the United States has given you. So you just handed you a driver's license. Here you are, Manuel Ortiz, given a driver's license because you say you're 17 years old, never driven a vehicle before. In the middle of town, they got vehicles driving through people's homes, vehicles upside down, and Main Street. These people never driven a car before in their life. That's how asinine the Democratic Party is. How do you sit there as a Democrat and say, you know what, it's a good thing that 4 million people were handed Social Security numbers. 4 million people handed Social Security numbers that illegally crossed our border and now enabling them to vote. All right, let's do this. Speaking of Doge, Springfield, Ohio. There it is. Yep. Thank you. I could not remember. 2 minutes. I pet East Palestine, Ohio, stuck in my head. Speaking of Doge, let's go to End Wokeness video. Breaking, federal agency spent more than $4.6 billion. Get this, Will. Okay, they spent $4.6 billion feeding the hungry. Taking care of our veterans. Making sure that veterans' families whose husbands or wives have been lost in battles overseas or military conflict overseas were taken care of for life. Getting people off the streets. Getting rid of fentanyl. Now, federal agencies spent more than $4.6 billion just since 2021 on furniture. $4.6 billion on furniture. Play for me.
On high-end pieces. Since fiscal year 2021, executive agencies have spent more than $4.6 billion on furniture alone. That amount could buy 9.2 million American families a modest $500 kitchen table. During the peak years of the COVID emergency, from 2020 to 2022, agencies spent $3.3 billion on furniture, even as work migrated to Zoom. The SEC managed to spend $700,000 furnishing a single conference room in New York. And social distancing guidelines failed to keep even the Centers for Disease Control from buying solar-powered picnic tables with charging ports that, by their own rules, should have sat unoccupied. And an added burden for taxpayers is that many spaces are in long-term disrepair, as we mentioned before. Federal buildings need $370 billion in fixes.
You know, and as Aaron said here, I didn't catch that. I'm glad that he did. When were they spending it? And don't worry, it was high-end furniture.
Oh.
Okay, now remember, at that time, and again, now we increased COVID expenditures, remember, in our budget, and again, this was done under Donald Trump, okay? So listen, this is a big mistake on his part. We used to have basically a $5 trillion budget with $4 trillion of tax revenue coming in. Clear? Mm-hmm. So there you go. Now, when COVID hit, you know, what we're all supposed to pretend was the second coming of the bubonic plague, even though it's 99.9% survivable, and bubonic plague was 50% survivable. 50% of people caught bubonic plague were dead. 99.997% of people caught COVID lived. So anyway, and lived, went back to completely and totally normal. Because of this pandemic, we had to increase our spending per year by $2 trillion. So we had tax revenue coming in at $4 trillion, and we increased our expenditures to $7 trillion. So Aaron, you would assume that when COVID ended, for all intents and purposes in 2023, even though it never began,
right,
that we would go back to spending $5 trillion a year and only adding $1 trillion worth of debt to our national debt every year,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
No, we didn't do that.
No.
Of course, we did not do that. Now, point in all this, at that time when this $4.6 trillion was being spent on furniture, 6% of the people who would sit amongst it weren't coming to work, were the only ones coming to work. 94% of the people that are supposed to be sitting on this furniture weren't even attending work because it was COVID. So Aaron.
Yes.
After COVID, I'm assuming that those 94% of people that were staying at home all came back, right?
Yeah, they should.
No, they didn't.
No.
So now, even to this day, only because it was set up with COVID, it's just like around here, freaking pisses me off, that businesses that used to be open 24/7 use COVID as an excuse to close.
Yep.
Now have stayed closed.
Yep.
All right. Just like, as we've illustrated on this podcast, 70% of the businesses that closed during COVID never reopened, even though it was a temporary closure. 15 days to flatten the curve. Oh, wait, 30 days. Oh, wait, 60 days. Oh, wait, 90 days. Oh, wait, 5 years.
Yeah.
So this furniture was actually spent, this money that was spent on furniture was spent on people who don't come to work. And when it was spent, they were already not at work, and it continued to be spent because this was spent from 2021 to now. Jeez. So when nobody was there in 2021, they were spending money on furniture. 2022, spending money on furniture. 23, spending money on furniture. 24, spending on furniture until Elon Musk put an end to it here in March of, or now April, but this came out in March. In March of 2025, it finally ended when there's nobody there and only 6% of the federal workforce actually comes to work every day physically. But why would you need to spend money on furniture that nobody's sitting on? Ever. Never has. And as Will pointed out, don't worry. It was high end. And if you're a Democrat, You're in favor of those expenditures. That's your national platform.
Yeah.
All right, go to the next one. Rasmussen report. Surprise. They've been using NGOs, non-government organizations, to dump fake voter registration forms utilizing the fake Social Security numbers on key county registrar's offices. Oh, it's like it's an orchestrated attempt to overturn an election using treason to do so by the Biden administration. That would be correct. Look at the numbers. Look at them. These are the numbers right there that I just read to you a minute ago using a bar graph. There it is. That's what they're doing. Key County Registrar's offices for the last 5 to 6 election cycles. So they were juicing using the 5 million, with 4 million. Would 4 million votes overturn national elections? Heck to the yeah. To the yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Trump won by 7 million votes. But that you could easily lose because it doesn't matter. Popular vote doesn't matter. You just use it strategically in certain jurisdictions to win a state, which gives you the Electoral College votes. Then using those fraudulent voter registrations to request ballots in the mail. And it's just like, right, see, all of this was orchestrated via COVID. Mass mail-in balloting orchestrated during COVID. Everybody wearing masks legally. Aaron, can you give me Trump legally?
Legally.
Legally wearing masks. Now they can do all these protests with masks on, commit crimes with masks on, destroy Teslas with masks on because it's societally acceptable to walk around with a mask on. That was also important. So that Soros and his street mafia, his street Gestapo, can actually commit crimes with a mask on. Normally, in the state of Florida, it's illegal to wear a mask. You can't walk around with a mask on because people commit crimes with masks on.
Right.
But now it's perfectly societally acceptable to walk around with a mask on. That was on purpose so that they could commit crimes and not be identified. Then they pay the NGOs to have their staff fill out ballots and mail them in. Of course. There you go. All right. Skip the next one, Will. Skip the next one, which is the Charlie video because I've already covered that ad nauseum. And go right to the Libs of TikTok tweet. You got it? There we go. So you have all of this going on. 4 to 5, it depends on which report you read. 4 to 5 million people illegally given Social Security numbers, which enabled them to illegally register to vote, as we just illustrated. And here's the Democratic Party response to all of this illegality. Libs of TikTok tweet. The DNC, Chuck Schumer, and Hakeem, strike one, Jeffries, are suing Trump over his EO to block non-citizens from voting. I mean, that's what it means. That's what it means to be a Democrat. And here's the thing. Sad thing is that most Democrats are actually against illegal voting, illegals voting. They are actually against it. When you look at national polls, most Democrats are against illegals voting, but your leadership is suing to allow them to do so. Look at this. This is what DNC, Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, are suing Trump over his EO to block non-citizens voting. So if Trump EO is blocking them illegals from voting, and you're suing to remove the EO, that means that you want illegals to vote. Obviously. Go to the next one for me. So I just had to show this to you. Now, this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Doge, but it's very Doge-esque with the American Heart Association. I feel very proud of myself that I've sent money to the American Heart Association. Don't feel proud anymore. Let's look, because this is very, very typical. I'm not calling them an NGO. I would guess that they do receive our money. I don't know that, but I would assume that they do via federal grants. Anish Koka, MD, tweet, jaw-dropping numbers, and I have a whole section of what I call all lies. Going back, if anybody believes that Pearl Harbor just spontaneously happened, it didn't. If you believe that Winston Churchill was a hero, he wasn't. I mean, you just don't know. It's all lies. Everything that we think is real, it's just not real. Outside of our Constitution and our original Revolutionary War. We're only, what was it, Aaron? 3% of the population fought in the Revolutionary War. Everything's a lie. We think it's all Americans rallied against the British. No. Most of them were the ankle-grabbing mask wearers sitting at home. I'll do whatever anybody who's ever in charge, I'll do whatever they tell me to do. As long as I can go along to get along, and as long as nobody disrupts my comfort, I'll be an immoral, hell-bound person. No problem. So here's jaw-dropping number. CEO of American Heart Association. You know, it costs $4 million to run the American Heart Association per year. Annual revenue, $972 million. Annual employee compensation, $435 million. So it costs. So they receive, get this, Will, $972 million a year. And to hand out or use the $972 million per year, it costs them $439 million to hand out $972 million. That's real life. It's the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation. Receive $36 million, give out $5 million. So it costs them $29 million to hand out $5. That is real life. That's the real life. American Aaron sent me, the American Heart Association does receive taxpayer dollars through grant. Oh, man, you like Tom? I mean, I'm not saying Tom's smart. I'm saying that Tom just reads a lot of this stuff. So I know what's happening because I have Aaron. Why do I read all that stuff?
Because you have no life.
I have no life. That's it. Though it is primarily funded by other non-government sources, which are actually other NGOs that are called non-government organizations.
Yep.
All right. That's it for tonight. All right. Love you guys. Appreciate you in the rant. Somebody was sending me, if you're on Twitter, you're the person who sent it to me, like reading these names off of reading names at the beginning of the show. Those are all the people on Rumble, which is the only free speech streaming platform out there. I'm still banned on Twitter, completely banned on Facebook, completely banned on, or shadow banned on all of those platforms on YouTube. Rumble actually lets us say what we want to say, and we're never banned. And there's none of the copyright bullcrap or anything else either. So those are the names that I'm reading. Some people didn't catch. They're like, why did they show the same videos over and over again on Tuesday? It's Tuesday night, right?
Today's Monday. Last night. Yep.
Last night. Why did they do that? Well, because I forgot the whole thing, and I made Aaron play the videos over and over again until I got here with the slides. So that's what happened. I blew up the whole thing. But anyway, Aaron and I were doing it. I was in the car. We're doing it in the car. So anyway, which was kind of hairy, by the way. Kind of hairy, especially how fast I was driving. But anyway, that's what happened last night, just so everybody knows, in case you missed it or whatever. All right, so Rumble Rants tonight. Tony Nuthead becoming a regular in the Rumble Rant. Thank you so much. $20. Chopper Supernut, $5. Peace Sus. What do you think, Aaron? I see you all the time. Love you. Aaron, what do you think on the Peace Sus?
I don't even know.
I'm just going to say Peace Sus, IGEP. Yeah. I don't know how to say it. You guys should get irritated with me. Can't you pronounce my name? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the next one, Dave Souders.
Yeah, that's easy.
But anyway, I love you all the same. Dave Souders, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Listen, the entire post game, with the exception of maybe one of the videos, all fun stuff. Stick around for it. It's awesome. It's going to start in about 45 seconds. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.